Hello, I'm Michelangelo.
And I'm his David, obviously. And we're the Sticky Bun Boys. Hey up, it's patisserie week this week.
It certainly is, which means beauty and perfection.
If I was a bakery week, I think I'd be patisserie.
Oh, did I say beauty and perfection? I meant to say small, faffy, and usually style over substance. And today, late.
Oh.
Also, packed with cream and well glazed.
Well, there you go. Actually, I'm probably more of a cake week.
No comment.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, patisserie week, episode 9. Sorry, I've been complaining about the pollen in the air.
Yeah.
It's pollen time now.
Do you know what? I genuinely feel very, very sorry for people that have hay fever, because I don't have it, but it is really horrible.
It's like allergic to existence. This is natural selection. Like, I'm the weakest.
If you stay, you are. If you stay in bed, would it actually still affect you? Does it come through?
Well,
like,
it's in
the
air. It's everywhere. It comes through the floor.
And is yours just grass pollen or flowers?
It's just grass.
So that's early season.
I don't know. It's just awful. That's all I know.
Well, you missed it because it's been cut out, but Michael did just cough and splutter into his microphone.
Because you made me laugh.
Well, actually, it was
just
Alex.
Don't do that for the whole episode. We'll be fine. It won't be hard. We start off with a signature, which is a baklava for this week's bake. It is 2 types of baklava and 12 types of each in 3.5 hours. I mean, delicious and challenging, but patisserie?
I know. I was thinking that because patisserie to me is a very specific thing because it's actually French. So if something's got to kind of follow the patisserie thing, it's got to be that kind of really pretty. Like, fair enough, these are small, sweet things, but they're not really patisserie.
They're not French, are they?
No, so I'm saying no, patisserie's French.
Oh.
Whereas baklava isn't.
No.
And also, never call it baklava.
Baklava?
That's what Paul kept on doing. I was like, it's called baklava.
Do you call it a latte or a latte?
Oh, that one I don't care.
Latte. You say latte. What about lasagna?
Lasagna.
I hear lasagna a lot.
Oh, no.
Isn't that awful? I like a latte with my lasagna before my baklava.
Oh, no.
Awful, darling. Les. Yeah, delicious. Challenging. Almost impossible. But not patisserie.
Not patisserie.
Really strange. And they had to make their own phyllo. Have you done that before?
No, but do you know what? It's one of those ones. You see, I wish it'd been on ours, so I'd have been forced to try and do it. Because it does look interesting, the kind of stretching over a tablecloth. Mm. Not interesting enough to try it, though.
No, I have literally no desire to learn to make it. And they kind of said this on the episode as well. Like, whenever you look up a recipe, the first step is always unwrap the phyllo pastry because you've bought it from the shop.
But also, people that come from countries that have these recipes, they don't make their own phyllo.
Mm.
No one does it. You do just buy it.
I mean, a good challenge for the tent, though. Like, I quite like seeing them make it.
Absolutely brilliant. But why wasn't it on, like, a pastry week or something? But Michael, what would you do?
Ooh, what would you do? I left space for the sting then. I sang it in my head.
You always leave the space.
I think I would do like a babka baklava.
Ooh, say more.
Do you know what I mean? Like chocolatey, like hazelnutty, maybe a bit of orange, like that kind of vibe, I think. Like an orange syrup. I'm not really into the fragrant stuff.
Oh, so, yeah, you've got to have a nut, you've got to have a syrup. I do quite like the fact of having some chocolate in there. Mm. I was thinking, although I don't drink it at the moment because I have caffeine, but a coffee baklava would be quite nice.
Why can't you have caffeine? You're shitting yourself too much.
Yeah. And just I get really bad.
It goes right through you.
I get really bad withdrawal and have migraines.
You have an Ariana Venti anyway, and it goes right out.
I do like the fragrant though, so I would have gone for rose still.
And really?
I like a variety of nuts, but I particularly like the ones, you know, there's all different shapes. I like the layers where it's just the simple square ones that have a layer of nuts.
Are we going to leave the variety of nuts? Should we leave that one alone?
Yes, let's leave that
Am
alone.
Am I allowed to furrow into it?
No, definitely you're not furrowing anywhere.
Right. Who is your favourite?
I really liked Richard's because he did rose and pistachio. Very, very traditional. And he had a walnut and almond one as well. But they were like perfect, basically.
I thought Louis sounded nice. He was doing like rose and barberry, which is lovely. And then a halva baklava, which I thought was a really smart idea.
Yes,
like,
the carrot.
Like carrot-y. It's like Indian. I feel like it's Indian. I mean, I've had it in India, but yeah, that's why I think Indian, it is. Yeah. But it's like a carrot. Oh, how do you describe it? It's like candied carrot.
But it's with milk as well, so therefore it's had that rich.
It's like
milky.
A carrot fudge.
Yes, it's sort a of. Carrot fudge.
Yeah. He said when he was making it, he had 4 stars for every hole, which sounds like the X Factor for bottoms. Doesn't it? Yes, because he was making like star shapes and then pushing them into the muffin case. So they kind of made like petals.
Yes, which was my issue because then Paul was saying this isn't baklava. However, I would say if baklava was going to be patisserie, then this would be it. Because it's changing baklava into something really pretty and kind of over the top on decoration. It didn't sound like it worked though because the pastry was quite dry.
And would you go to a bronze scouser to ask what was traditionally Turkish or not?
No.
No, not typically. Not typically. They looked gorgeous. I don't know how he manages to make every single bake that he makes look so pristine.
I know, because one of the things when you're in the tent is, I've seen some of the things you do, Michael. They're pristine. But you've had hours at home.
Yeah.
Like, Louis manages to do them in the time.
In the tent. Yeah. With people filming him and asking him questions. I mean, they don't always taste that nice. I think this time as well, it was bone dry and the pastry didn't work.
That's my... So my memory of this series was that there was some, like, titans of bacon and Louis... Bacon? Baking. But anyway, I remember him as being, like, one of the strongest. And he is, because obviously he's got this far. But I'd forgotten that actually he does miss quite often on flavours and textures.
Yeah, he's a bit like Francis.
Yeah.
Except they're less mean to him because he's a man. So back to Richard then. He was doing traditional rose and pistachio. And then he was also doing a walnut and almond with orange. And he was wearing the sheriff's badge. So I reached out to Richard and I asked the question. Because you know how we were saying they keep wearing sheriff's badges?
Yeah.
I did some actual journalism for the podcast. Are you proud of me?
Yeah.
And basically, I think Louis brought it in quite early on in the season. And whoever won Star Baker the week before got to wear the badge. So our hypothesis was correct.
And Richard just wore it all the time, basically.
Because he won, well...
so many.
Spoilers. Chetna was doing cocoa in one of her batches. So she was making a cocoa phyllo in a chocolate orange baklava and then a masala chai infused baklava. That was quite hard to say with my teeth in.
The problem with that one is, with cocoa, is when you're making phyllo, you actually do want quite a lot of gluten because it's got to stretch and stretch and stretch. And when you're making a cake, if you add something like cocoa or corn flour, you do that to try and make it softer because
less gluten.
You're blocking, there's not as much gluten. And so it's not going to work. You're never going to have a crispy
shell. They looked quite heavy.
They look massive. I don't think she knows what baklava is. They look massive as well.
Yeah, sorry, I was doing like a hand.
Like an cupping.
I was cupping.
You're cupping two hefty baklava balls there.
Two baklava balls. It was quite thick. They were quite thick. They're quite dry. The syrup didn't quite get through. They tasted all right. Then there was Nancy, who was back at the Maysam School of Wrong Implements because she was cutting her nuts with scissors. Did you see that? She was just holding up a nut, then snipping it into pieces, then holding up another nut, snipping that into pieces. And I was like, what? It's got 3.5 hours. Surely there's a better way of doing this.
I did not see that because I do that for dried fruit, which makes sense. But a nut, scissors.
And then later on, she was drizzling honey with a lemon zester. She was just like dipping the lemon zester in and like drizzling it all around. I was like, have you heard of a spoon, Nancy?
Do you know what? Nancy, she comes across as the person that would always use the right implement.
It felt like to me, you know, in the kitchen and you've like everything's messy and like you just want to get something, you need to get something onto something and you don't have the right thing. So you're just like, fine, I'll fucking use that.
Yeah, but the nuts and the scissors, you want to use a whizzer anyway.
Like with the honey, I mean, when I was doing cakes in the bake-off tent, I was scooped up curd with my hand, slapped it on and spread it on. Whereas I wouldn't have found the time to get a zester.
She was doing she said she didn't like baklava, basically. And she was doing like a breakfast muesli one and then a coffee and chocolate one. And she did do well. They were a bit pale. She didn't, with baklava.
They looked a bit weird when she rumbled them up, though. It looked like a phyllo foreskin.
Yeah, they
did you see that?
Really, really
like
did.
Like very phyllo foreskin. Basically, title of ep.
There is one of the baklavas where you get like a long tube of the phyllo pastry and then you kind of squish it together. And it really, really, like Sue was basically saying like, we can't show this.
Yeah, or maybe just say like a dune sandworm. One of the two.
Yeah, but the size-wise, it definitely looked like a phyllo foreskin.
Well, I don't know. Foreskin. Scale's quite confusing sometimes. They were quite pale, but they had a good crunch and the flavours were good. They all had like positives and negatives, really. No one kind of came out on top.
Yeah, I would say just Richard came out on top and just Chetna was in the bottom. But they all did really well. They all did well with their phyllo. And can we move on? Because I'm sick of saying baklava.
Baklava. So the technical then was a shish torta, which they had 2 hours to make. Oh my God. By the way, 2 hours.
Yeah.
And like none of them knew what it was. So giving someone 2 hours saying, make this thing you never heard of. And also, by the way, lol, you're grilling the cakes. Go. Like, what? That's intense.
Yeah, very intense.
Did you know what this was before? Because you watched this season. Did you know what this was before?
I can't remember back then, but I'd forgotten anyway, so no.
You've come dressed as a shish torta today, which is quite nice.
So is Alex.
Light, dark, light, dark, light, dark. I remember watching this episode because I remember being like, what the fuck is this? And then I also remember when we were learning about our Kek Lapis Sarawak in our season, I watched this episode because it's a similar technique.
Because you're clever.
Well, it's the same cake.
Yeah, it basically is. Yeah, I didn't realize at all. So this is a German cake.
Yes.
Isn't it? Yeah, it sounds like shit torture, which it kind of is.
Yeah.
But yeah, they basically make just a normal cake batter, but you were saying it is more enriched. Michael knows this because Michael did it this week.
I told you this series has properly, genuinely, like, inspired me. And I thought, well, why not? I've not grilled a cake since 2019, and famously it didn't go quite that well for me. We'll get to that in a couple of years. I thought, why not give it a go? It's one of those weird mixtures where you basically have to, you cream together your eggs, your butter and your sugar, and then you have to add a bit of lemon, which ends up not tasting of anything. And then you separate 10 eggs, and you whip the egg yolks and
eggs.
Sugar. Yeah. With a wee bit of sugar into like a sabayon, fold in the whipped up egg yolks, then fold in your whipped up egg whites. So it's kind of like trying to get air into it, basically. But it's a really dense mixture.
But why? So you've got this mixture that for the same size of a normal cake, you've got 10 eggs instead
it's
of
smaller.
Four.
It's like an inch thick.
And you're trying to get all this air in, even though it's impossible to get the air in because you're making these little pancake things. Why are they doing this? Why don't you make a cake?
Well, the main challenge I found, because like you're grilling it, and you grill it like the way you do it is you grill the first one light, so it's kind of like a light gold, and you grill the second one like a dark brown, so when you cut into it, it goes like light, dark, light, dark. But the problem with it is getting the layers to be even means that like sometimes they're really, really thin, which means there's no aeration in there. It just like tastes like pancake.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna try Michael's after this episode.
Well, have a go with it. But I did enjoy making it actually. Like it was quite like once you kind of got into the rhythm of it, you knew what you were doing. And I switched out the apricot jam because I don't like apricots, but just with marmalade. And it was like a nice chocolate ganache glaze, which is quite easy.
I can do a tasting for our OnlyFans, and then we'll also put a photo up of the cake. So if you're on our OnlyFans, you'll get to know how Michael's was. In here
It was a tense watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching it. It was interesting to watch them all make their decisions.
None of them did anything wrong, if you know.
No.
Like, none of them failed and like was, you know, put things on backwards or anything like that. They all did it and they all looked quite good.
I think what some of them fell down on was, I mean, I knew because I'd watched it backwards, but I weighed my mixing bowl first and wrote down that quantity. So then when I made the mixture, I could weigh it again and take off the mixing bowl weight and then divide that by 20.
Yeah, because some of them didn't have quite enough. I also quite liked, so Louis, who did very well in this, he did the thing of when he put his mixture in, instead of trying to spread it around with a spatula, he just tilted the thing.
Only works after the first one.
Because it's hot.
Yeah,
but then he got a really even, nice thing and he wasn't bashing it because then he also managed to get the best height. So I was wondering if that was the best technique.
Who was it that was deep and crisp and even? Oh, good King Wenceslas. So there was a technical in this as well, the BB. Did you watch that?
Yeah, about Bamkuchen.
I'm going to try and say this right. You ready? So Shishtorte comes from Hansestad Salvedel.
Yeah, it does.
That's what they say over there. Where Bamkuchen is also from.
And it's again that kind of layered cake, but this one, it's like a rotisserie cake.
Yeah.
Where you scoop up loads of the batter and keep on pouring it over
it's
going round.
Rotating spit. Yeah. And it takes 24 hours to cool down.
Absolutely ridiculous.
What do they do with the hole in the middle?
Well, the thing that annoyed me about this was...
I've said that before at a party.
You know, Michael. The thing about this was, is you didn't get to see the cake afterwards. They didn't cut into it. Sue didn't eat any of it.
I just couldn't... I was confused by the hole. I couldn't work out what happened because if you take the spit out, there's always going to be a hole.
And quite a big hole it looked like.
It was quite a gape. It was a gape.
It was a gape.
So in the judging, it was impressive. After 2 hours, they hadn't had any idea what it was. It was a challenging bake and they all made something. Fourth place was Chetna with 17 layers. It was a bit overbaked. Third was Nancy, who had 18 layers, but good otherwise. Second was Richard, who had 20 layers, but the layers were a bit shit. And then first was Louis, who had 20 layers, and Paul said, nearly faultless.
It looked... because his was also like quite a bit taller than all the rest of them.
I didn't like the white drizzle, just to go back a step.
No.
I liked the chocolate miracle glaze was lovely, but then they kind of like sprinkled cum on it and it looked a bit weird.
I was going to say, yeah, you want to swallow it, don't you, Michael?
No, it depends. So the showstopper then was two different types of entremets, which was 12 of each in 5 hours.
Yeah, now this one's tough because there's a lot of time that is to do with settings. Because entremets generally have loads of mousses and bavoirs and things that all set. One thing that straight away annoyed me about this was with Nancy, Paul said that you want to see all the layers of an entremet.
The layers.
Absolute bullshit. Loads of entremets. The whole point of the matter, they're like a shiny, smooth surface. Then you cut into it and you see all the layers inside it. So straight away, it's kind of like she was on the back foot, even though she'd been doing it right.
Yes, that annoyed me as well. But maybe entremets weren't as like known then, because this was filmed in the Dark Ages. They just moved on from cave drawings, so we don't fully know. I thought it was a brilliant challenge because there was so much time. Like, they could be properly creative. Like, they could spend 2.5 hours on each thing, and that's 12. You had those domed tarts. Do you remember those domed tarts you
made? Yes. Yeah.
They were kind of entremet-ish.
Yeah,
how long was that?
They were an entremet. I don't remember. But the thing about this was, like you say, they had the time. They also had the time to make them look neat, because patisserie week, the thing that infuriates me is when they're asking them to do something that is really specific and neat, and they're going to fail if you don't give enough time just because they're going to look bad.
Yeah.
This time they had the time.
And also, I thought, with this challenge, just the logistics of the tent, counter space is going to be really fucking hard, because you're making 24 things and you're having to get them all to set and cool. And mousses take up loads of bowls because you have to whip things separately. Just counter space. No one thinks about the logistics of making loads of stuff means you need to have loads of space, and you only have like, what, 1.5 meters?
Yeah.
2 meters? Who did you like?
I was going to ask you that, but I'll go first. I liked Louis.
So Louis was doing pomegranate, fig and pistachio, and then cherry and chocolate.
Yeah. And his looked so elegant.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we were talking about him doing things absolutely perfect. His properly looked like someone had just taken them from a window and then spent a whole day doing them. And I really liked his. I liked the idea of the pomegranate jelly. And they said it was really nice because a lot of the entremets are a bit overly sickly and sweet and too much of, like, nothing textures for, like, old people. Whereas having this pomegranate jelly, which is a texture for old people, but it was a sharp flavour. I liked it.
And they were on little, like, pastry cards, weren't they?
I know. He'd just taken it too far, didn't he?
Gorgeous. Then there was Nancy, who was doing lime, passion fruit and chocolate ones, and raspberry, almond, mint and verbena jelly and dark chocolate ones. The last one had a bit... Well, there's one too many things.
Yeah.
I tend to work in threes. I'm like a fruit, a spice, and like a chocolate thing. Or do you know what I mean?
I also don't think you'd be able to taste the verbena. But it did look really good. Again, very neat when they cut into it. And what I liked about this one is they said that she had good textures.
Mm.
And often with an entremet, the textures are a bit like...
Just like mousse.
Yeah.
Just like tastes all the same. I did get cross when they were talking about the... Was it the lime one? The lime one that was coated with chocolate.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I don't like that. That's not what an entremet is. And I was like, that's the thing that looks most like an entremet in that tent.
Exactly.
Like, I completely disagree with that. But it tasted good. Then there was Richard, who was doing grapefruit, almond and vanilla. And he was doing that kind of bendy spotted jacquard sponge around the outside of it. And then a hazelnut latte layered entremet, a bit like an opera cake.
Yeah. Oh, and his looked so good as well.
So neat.
Yeah.
So neat. Beautiful nuts, they said, but the grapefruit was missing. And then finally, there was Chetna, who did chocolate, hazelnut and orange, and then cappuccino entremets. And they said the cappuccino ones looked a bit bulbous, which I kind of agreed with. They were quite big.
Yeah.
But she won.
She won?
No, she wouldn't. She went home. I wrote the wrong list. I didn't scroll down.
I was going to say, the thing about Chetna on this one is, Chetna still did really well.
Mm.
Like, it was one of those weeks where you think she probably wasn't ever going to be the star for that week, but on another normal week, she would have been in the top. And this standard of this semi-final was so good.
So Richard then won. Richard, fifth time winning Star Baker.
Again.
Which was a record that was not hit again for a number of years.
Who did then hit it again?
Oh, we'll find out later on.
Poor Chetna fell at the last hurdle.
The hurdle's not worth it, though. She now gets to be in every single episode, and she also gets to have a fab time at the garden party.
She can have a sausage roll and a chinwag with Norman. And whoever that person was who went in week one.
Oh, we love Norman. And also, yeah, I have no idea who went out in week one. Let's move quickly on then to this week's taste test, which comes from Marky762. And she wants to convert everyone to spaghetti and custard.
Oh, wow. Was not expecting that. My instant brain reaction is quite conflicted, actually. But we've got a bit of time to consider. So is it jail or are we going to try this for our next meal?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, it's us. Did you miss us?
It must be difficult being apart from us for those precious seconds spent listening to various people flogging their wares.
Speaking of which, have you heard about our OnlyFlans? It's our exclusive page where you can get loads of bonus behind-the-scenes tea, which we are absolutely not allowed to do on the podcast.
Not just that, but we also share ad-free episodes, recipes, chats with special guests, and loads more.
And this could all be yours for the price of a chocolate orange a month.
Just pop over to patreon.com/stickybunboys to find out more and join in on all the fun.
Right, the flogging is a officially over.
Over? I was just getting started.
Michael's eating pizza, but he's taken off all of his pepperoni and put it in a little pile. We've talked about this before. Michael likes to separate his food.
I like my piles.
And he likes his piles. I love spaghetti. And I have to say, I do like quite simple spaghetti. And I love custard. I kind of feel like I should like this.
I don't think the gloopiness of the custard would go nicely with like the kind of with the pasta. Do you know what I mean?
No, you could, and then all the custard would go around your mouth and
I don't want anything around my mouth.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't like having a messy mouth.
Oh.
Do you?
I'm just trying to think. There's certain times rimming is quite difficult not to get a bit messy. Do you just wipe out? Do you have baby wipes there?
Next to your bed? Just some kitchen roll.
Yeah. Anyway, how did we go from spaghetti and custard to rimming?
Also, quickly, just during the ad break, Alex, I offered him a beer, which I thought was very nice of me, and he's poured it all over my fucking floor.
I know.
It's not even my carpet, that.
We've had to vanish.
I've had to put squirts and vanish onto it. Luckily, I had that kitchen roll by my bed.
If only it was a baby wipe. So I actually have to agree with you in the end, because I think that if I had spaghetti in my mouth, I'd think it was savoury and I'd be very confused.
Yeah, not to be dramatic, but death to Marky 762. No? Okay.
Yeah. Right, so this week, play the sting for Disaster of the Week, please, Alex.
Disaster of the Week.
This week, one of our mutual friends, Amelia, so
also famously off the Bake Off.
Yeah, Bake Off alumni. There was a video of her going home, and she'd walked into her home and her ceiling had fallen down.
Mm-hmm.
Like fully collapsed onto the floor. That I would be so freaked out if that happened.
In front of her front door.
Yeah. Like literally as you walk in the front door, the whole of the ceiling had collapsed. I just thought that was quite good for a disaster of the week. I asked her about it. And she said that the annoying thing is because she lives in one of these, quite a rough house in London. It's
an old house.
Yeah, it's big. But the thing is, it's just such cheap rent.
Well, the landlord basically is just kind of paying off the mortgage and then is going to kick them all out and remake it again. But she's been saying there's been a leak from their bathroom for ages and they tried to get it fixed. And landlord said, stop having showers.
But then the landlord bought them a shower curtain because she claimed that the shower curtain was just on the outside of the bath.
Very good of her, really, isn't it?
Very good of her. So, and then a year later, the whole ceiling caves in just above where the bathroom.
Genuinely awful. I mean, I'm very lucky with my house. Like, what a nice wee flat. I really like it. And so I tried to pretend to my landlord I don't exist. Like, she's lovely. She's really helpful. But, like, I'm scared that she's going to remember that I'm here. And then she'll put the rent up. So now when things break in the house, I just fix it myself.
Wait, so you've not had a rent increase when everyone else had them?
Don't say it out loud. Don't put it into the world.
She might be listening.
No, she doesn't listen. Hi, well, Laura, if you are. Love you. Thanks so much for your lovely house.
Sorry about
the beer on the carpet.
Yeah, no one's spilled beer on the carpet. Our house at the moment, it's so annoying when you bought a house because you can't.
In the middle of your street.
Landlord,
your house.
In the middle of our street. But this week, when Amelia said that, I was like, oh, that's really harsh for Amelia. And then our washing machine seal that we've only just bought broke.
Is this good content?
So it started leaking everywhere. Then all of our lights on the top floor went off, still not fixed. And then my kitchen drawer broke, which is the drawer that has all my favourite utensils.
Are you walking around with like candles like Florence Nightingale?
Yes, I am actually.
Are you actually genuinely?
I genuinely am. Upstairs, yes.
Do you know how in the past, right, when they were walking around with candles, how did they stop the wind from blowing the candles out?
I know, they should have had one that has a thing. You're still joking. We actually are. Nick literally walked around with one of those yesterday saying, I'm like a Victorian woman.
Did he actually? Like, yes. A Victorian ghost?
Yeah, because it's got one of those little hook things. We just happen to have one of those.
I think they're camp, they're fun, but how they must have combated the wind, because I'm assuming there was wind back then as well.
They would have had drafty houses.
So how do they stop the candles from blowing out? Because I've seen Bridgerton, it doesn't blow out.
I don't know, you'll have to ask your friend.
And also, here's a big ick. When someone, and I know dyslexia exists and dyslexia is real. I'm sorry for those who have it. But when they spell draw, D-R-A-W. As in to draw, as if you're drawing a picture. Like, I'll put it in my drawer. Drawer.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Oh, I don't like it. Please stop it, anybody.
Right, so that was quite a disastrous week, and it's none of it's been fixed. So
I'm going back to my pizza now.
Right, this first question in the inbox comes from Maggie. I don't know if it's a question, actually. I'm just going to start reading it. Dear Sticky Bunnies.
Ah, Easter.
Yeah. Thank you for your show. It's a ray of sunshine in my podcast feed each week. I listen enthusiastically as I chase my toddler around the playgrounds of Brooklyn in silent fear that my headphones will fall out at any moment and somehow my phone will begin audibly playing your cheeky innuendos in front of the impressionable kiddos.
I don't know what you mean.
Living dangerously. But also, it's an innuendo. That's the point. It doesn't matter if they can hear it.
I don't think I was counting innuendos at this point.
No. My question might be... Yeah, I don't think just talking about rimming is an innuendo, is it?
That was you, not me.
My question might be answered by Michael, but if Alex has thoughts, I'm all ears. Oh, and David too in brackets. Excuse me,
you
Maggie.
Being after him in the order is fab, yeah, to me.
Not even just after. It's actually marriage. Like Michael and Alex, and then just if I just happen to be here. It's like I am on this podcast every time. Right, Maggie.
Barely sometimes.
I'm in a long, happy and healthy relationship. Snore, I know. And I have a handful of friends who are not, despite their desires and efforts to be. My question is, I know why. It's because I'm in a long, boring relationship.
It's
as well.
Happened again with the chorizo.
And advice.
And Alex, she doesn't realise that Alex has got a wife.
Alex has suddenly got cocky over there. I don't like it.
My question is, are there things I can be saying or doing that might feel truly supportive when they share their dating woes? Specifically, coming from someone who is not in the same boat. The things that pop to mind just feel crappy and overwrought. If you're telling someone a dating story that's bad, do you want the kind of crappy, like, oh, it's okay, Michael, is more fish in the sea, or do you want people to laugh and like play?
Yeah, I want
it?
The laugh and the cackle.
Yeah, I would say, I think that's maybe the problem is you're thinking of things that are crappy and overwrought. Actually, you should just be going for it and like making fun of the date and kind of going.
And I
it.
Also find it, I don't like it when someone, like, when I'm like, oh, I'm feeling single or whatever, and someone's like, oh, why don't you try this? I'm like, no.
Yeah, don't give advice.
No, just be like, oh, that's shit. Yeah. That's, I don't want someone to fix it.
Yeah.
I think that's the main, yeah, that's it. Just like, don't. Because I think when someone tries to fix it, it makes it look like if you feel like they're looking down on you a bit.
Yeah, and just to kind of read it, if they're telling you about the story, like a horrible dating story, but they're kind of like saying it in a funny way, then just go with the humour. Like, yeah. Just laugh with them.
Go with the Uma Thurman.
P.S. My personal take on why so many Americans are bake-off obsessed is because it's just this surreal fantasy world of people gracefully accepting critical feedback, which no American is truly able to do, interspersed with images of non-sticky bunnies. It's like brand name Xanax, truly.
What is Xanax?
It's diazepam.
What's diazepam? Follow-up question.
It's a benzodiazepine.
And what? And as a quick segue from that, what's benzo... Ben...
So all of those ones...
Good drag king name, that. Benzo diazepine, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Diazepine, that'd be even better.
They're all sedatives. So all the ones like loratadine, benzodiazepine.
Oh, okay.
So they're a sedative, so they basically make you go to sleep.
So she's calling us boring.
Yes, basically.
Great, love that.
Yeah.
But thank you for that, Maggie, and I hope the children that you're chasing around are yours.
Right, the next one is from Hugh, and it's spelled H-U-W, which I love that spelling. Hey, Queens. Opted for Queens to not show favouritism. I have a question about GBBO application process. For the past 6 years, I've been applying for the Bake Off and not really getting anywhere. I submit a good application, so they say, which shows my passion for baking and showcases all my skills. I don't want to sound big-headed, well, you already have, but I genuinely think I'm pretty good. I wouldn't apply otherwise. A couple of years ago, I got a phone call back, which in my opinion went really well, but I never heard anything back. So I'm wondering if a couple of pros like yourselves have any tips or advice. Please and thank you. Yeah, I was joking. He's not arrogant because obviously you're not going to apply unless you have a passion for baking. And that's all because it's an amateur baking show.
Was until there was a certain contestant on it. Was it last year? Year before?
Year before. One thing is sometimes you could be too good, Hugh.
Mm.
Because they're not looking for people like that. I think sometimes when people apply and don't get in 1 year, they then like go to town on the baking and make it look even more perfect. And that might be a problem of getting onto the show because they want fun. They want people at different levels slightly. You've got to be able to bake, but they're not looking for the best baker.
They're also looking for curiosity, I think, is a big thing. They're looking for people who are like, oh, I haven't tried that, want to give it a go kind of vibe. Because I think all of our year, none of us really have a thing that we always do. We're always trying new things out and giving it a go. And I think, because I went into my audition, and yes, I lied a bit, but I didn't lie a lot. And when they ask some questions about things, I'd be like, well, I haven't done that, but I know how to do it, but I've not done it before. But then the next time I saw them, I probably would have tried it by then and we'd have a bit of a chat about it. And like even silly things, like I'd never put icing on the side of a cake before. Like I only ever put it on the top before Bake Off.
I'd never done an Italian meringue buttercream, a Swiss meringue buttercream, any of those buttercreams. And I was the same as you. I didn't try and claim that. I didn't think I've got to have ticked all these boxes. I said, oh, I'm really good at bread, but I've not done this, this and this. And so I do think you can kind of push it a bit too far. Also, Hugh spelled like that maybe is Welsh. They do want different people, and it's not like there's so few people that get on Bake Off compared to applicants.
Mm.
Like if you think of any job you go to and it's like 1 in 100, this is like 1 in how many thousand that you're going to get on this show. So it's not bad that you didn't get through to the next stage. You can just keep on applying. There's people, was it Dawn, who had applied every single year? So it was like something like 12 or 13 times she'd applied. You've got to just apply, just enjoying that process, and just keep on doing it if you want to get
and on. Like find your USP, find the thing that makes you a bit different. Like they're not actually, don't focus on the bake, focus on who you are. So if you're making a bake, it needs to kind of represent something about you and that.
What
kind
was
of
your
vibe.
USP?
Gay, mentally unwell, and brown.
Brown but Scottish.
And Scottish as well, so they got one of the regions in there.
And likes triangles.
I do love a triangle, me.
Right, I've got a new section, Michael. It's not really a section. It's just a question today. Is, I was thinking, because I've got a friend who is trying to find a flat, and it's like a house
well,
sharing.
They can't come here.
And, well, this was my question. So my question is, if someone was going to move in with Michael, then what things, like, absolutely would be a
was
no
that the
go
sting?
For you?
Is that all we're getting?
That's not a sting, because it's not a section. This is just
I wanted to be a section. Can you make a sting?
Moving in with Michael. Right, so what things would be
is
like...
Is this like... partner?
No,
because I'm not going back to flatmates ever again.
Well, it could be partner then. It's just things. So you know when, even if it's a partner or someone that's
well, I can think flatmate, it's like immediately for a partner.
So, but these are domestic things. So I'm not talking about you don't like if they shave the balls or something. It's got to be.
Oh no,
domestic
I was
going to
say
house.
If we're in the bed before going to sleep, stop touching me. I want none. I want no body contact at all.
And if it's a flatmate,
same. Like I don't. So if we were like, a cuddle's lovely, that's been great. Thank you so much. Now please go to the other side of the bed and leave me alone.
The cuddle and roll. Which side are you on? Because Michael's got a wall at one side.
I'm on the right.
So you can get off, you're not on the wall side.
So I can get off, yeah. That's the goal.
So one thing I was thinking the other day when my friend was talking about this, because she'd got annoyed because someone had put washing out to dry on. We know those kind of things that stack up.
Clothes
to also, someone did actually write into the other day. You know when we said we don't have a tumble dryer because of your coat that you washed that was not meant to be washed?
Yes.
Because you were sick on it.
And right, so, thank you for bringing it up.
Someone, I forgot who it was an American, wrote in saying, how do you guys not have tumble dryers? What do you do? It's like, things dry. You don't need a tumble dryer.
Yeah, I don't think I think Americans might have them a lot, though.
They must all have them if they don't know how to dry things. We have these racks, and you put things on the racks.
Do you use a washcloth in the shower?
No.
No, because I was talking to an American the other day who was like, I'm being ganged up on my British friends, and they're all saying that I shouldn't be using my washcloth. And I was like, well, first off, it's a flannel, and secondly, it's embarrassing.
We call it a flannel. But my parents did.
Did they?
Yeah, they had flannels. Anyway, if you're drying your clothes, one thing that really frustrated her, and it does frustrate me as well, is when you walk to someone's clothes thing and they've just like not put the clothes on properly.
Yes,
so they're all
this
on the
was
top
the
of
first thing I was going to say. So this is actually one of the final things that pushed me over the edge of my previous flatmate, because we had different definitions of when a wash was complete. Because mine, because I'm not a psychopath, was that I put it in the washing machine, I hang it out, it dries, I put it away, complete. Yeah. Hers was, put it in the washing machine, hang it up, done.
No.
So, but we shared the clothes horse. So basically, I would have to like fold her clothes and put them in a pile. And then if I passive aggressively left them, there'd be no clothes horse left. But then I'd, because I can't deal with confrontation, just bought a new clothes horse. And then she filled that one too. And there was a point in our small, did you ever come to my Stratford house?
No.
There was there were four clothes horses in this very small room. There's no more space for them. And I couldn't passively aggressively use them anymore. So I had to use all the banisters for my clothes. It was chaos.
Did she see these clothes horses? She's like, I need to put another wash on. There's a spare clothes horse.
I don't know what happened. I don't know how she had so many black t-shirts. But like, it was just that drove me insane.
See, I would still put them away. What annoys me is when you go up to a clothes horse and someone's got a hoodie and one of the arms is still inside the hoodie and another one, the hoodie's still like, it's never going to dry like that. It will literally take 10 years.
So I've got the bed one and the clothes one. That's for this week.
Of course, it goes without saying, you wouldn't let anyone move in unless they were an OnlyFlan.
Of course, they had to subscribe as well and review and write in every single week.
Oh, the full SBB cult member.
And if you want to join our cult, actually, just pop over to patreon.com/stickybunboys and you'll have access to loads and loads of Sticky Bun Boy extras.
This week, there's a video of Michael massaging an octopus. Alex provides advice on the perfect flowers for pastry shells. And there's a little audio post of me reading the full unabridged version of Norman's memoir.
I mean, none of that is true, but there is also lots of fun content that will lighten up your week.
Actually, there is one of me tying my shoelaces, genuinely. Right, come on. We have another episode to record, and Hazel is going to terrorise us any moment.
Yes, I think she heard you, actually.
Oh, dear.
Keep them sticky.
Ready for the boring bit? Let's go.
The Sticky Bun Boys are not endorsed by or affiliated with Love Productions, The Great British Bake Off, or any of its subsidiaries. All views and opinions are our own.
The Great British Bake Off and all related content are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Very professional, David.
In one breath.
We're all just having a bit of fun, aren't we?